quickly review the Mishnah and the Gemara that we did yesterday. And the Mishnah records a dialogue here, a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Meir, you cannot sell a Beis Knesset Shel Rabim to a Yochid, even though the Yochid is going to use the Beis Knesset. The buyer, who's a Yachid, is going to use the Beis Knesset as a Beis Knesset, but it's still a violation of Moridin Mikdushaso, that a Beis Knesset Shel Rabim has a greater Kedusha than that of a Yachid. And the Chachamim say, if that be the case, then you cannot sell a Beis Knesset of a larger city for purposes of, and the buyer is going to use it for the purpose of a Beis Knesset in a smaller city, because that's also being morid the Kedusha from that of an Ir Gdola to that of an Ir Ktana. Now, why is it that going from an Ir Gdola to an Ir Ktana is called Horadas HaKedusha? We don't have anything in Rashi, as far as I could tell, on this. He says here, Yektsas Mispal, you're whittling down the numbers of those who will use the Beis Knesset. That itself is a Horodas Kedusha, like, as if to say that the quantity, the number of people that daven in the shul is going to determine its Kedusha, its level of Kedusha. And I'm not sure exactly why. Let's see if the Gemara will clarify that. Shapir ka'omale rabbanil rabbi meir. The Gemara thinks that maybe there's no difference between Rabim and Yochid and Ir Gdol and Ir Ktana. And the answer is that according to Rabbi Meir, we can make the following distinction, that Ir Ktan, Ir Gdol, Ir Ktana, that's not called Horadas Kedusha, because both Beis Knesset of Ir Gdol and the Beis Knesset of Ir Ktana are sanctified with Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. But Mirabim LiYochid, that's a problem. Because there's no kedusha, because ein davshim kedusha pachos me asara. That's what we're saying over here. That ein davshim kedusha, right? That's the Rashi on the second line down from the top. Pachos me asara. So that's a fundamental difference between a Beis Knesset that's dedicated for Tefillah B'Tzibur as opposed to the Beis Knesset that's dedicated for Tefillah Sayochid. So in fact, we sort of sense this question. We're not sure now about the Rabbanah. You know, the Gemara thought that Shapir Kovar Le Rabbanah Le'Rabbi Meir. I mean, we thought the opposite, that we didn't understand the Rabbanah's equation here. So let's see the next line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, V'Rabbanan Iikalamechish ki hai gavna nam iikalamechish boy mishum barom vam hajus melech. That although you can recite a dovash of a kedusha and you have a guaranteed minion even in Ir Ktana, so what's the difference between the kedusha space kness of an Ir Gdola and that of an Ir Ktana? The answer is barov am. That einachinam, we count the number of mispalim based on this cube of Barov Am. Now, to the same extent that there's a difference between Tfilas Hatzibur and Tfilas HaYochid, and that changes the nature of the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, so too, based on the Pasuk of Mishlei, Barov Am HaJos Melech, there's a difference between Tfilas Rabim and Tfilas Less Rabim. In other words, Yosa Rabim and Pochos Rabim, or Gdola and Ektane in this case. And it even reflects on the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So I'm wondering, would that mean that if you had two choices, and you could daven in one shul where there are less mispalim and the other where there are more mispalim, you should choose the latter because of Berovam Hadras Melech. That enhances your cue. Or should we say no, that Barov HaMadras Melech is a kium, and it might even generate a new kedusha. But nevertheless, that's not your business. You don't have to daven in a place that's more holy. I mean, as long as you can fulfill all your obligations that you would have fulfilled if you were part of a tzibur, you don't have to choose a larger tzibur. But as far as the entity called Barov Am as a kium, as a community kium kind of entity, that generates a high level of kedusha in the Beis HaKnesses. Now again, the Rabbanan are arguing from the point of it cannot be, meaning we've never found that you can't sell a Beis HaKnesses shall ir gdola for an ir ktana, so obviously we don't make that distinction, and therefore the same din should apply to sell a Beis HaKnesses of Rabim to a Yachid. And that's what we have here. Now yesterday we were looking at the Yalkut Biurim, and I think the last thing we saw was this discussion about Kursaya and what was the status of Kursaya. Did it have the din of Tashmish to Tashmish? And that was the Gemara back on Chavav Amud Beis. And we had the case of a Bima Shol Eitz, correct? That was the place where they read the Sefer Torah, but there was a separation between the Sefer Torah and the Bima and the Kursaya. And that would make Kursaya to Tashmish to Tashmish. But then Rava changed his mind, and he came to the conclusion that a Kursaya has the status of Tashmish Kedusha, because sometimes you put the Sefer Torah directly down on the Bima Shel Eitz. So it seems from the Gemara that, and this is the last point that we mentioned in our introduction to yesterday's Shia, was that the din of Tashmish to Kedusha depends upon a direct contact between a Cheftah Shel Mitzvah, or shall we say a Cheftah Shel Kedusha, and this Tashmish Shel Kedusha. And this is Nogea to Aron Kodesh, as to whether or not Aron Kodesh has the status of Tashmish to Kedusha, Tashmish to Tashmish, because the Sefer Torah is wrapped around and placed into the Aron. And that would make it similar to the Havamin of Rava about Kursaya. And the Karban Asanel is so impressed by this logic that he comes to the conclusion that if the Sefer Torah is always in its tick, the tick becomes a Tashmish and the Aron is only a Tashmish to Tashmish. In Paroches, on the other hand, sometimes we use the Paroches to put the Sefer Torah on top of the Paroches. But in the Aron, if we don't use the Aron in any direct contact with the Sefer Torah, it becomes Tashmish to Tashmish. Again, we weren't sure about the Eitz Chaim, you know, that in a certain sense separate, but it's safe to assume that even with the Eitz Chaim, when you read the Sefer Torah open, there's going to be contact, direct contact with the Shulchan. Now the Rambam in Hilchas Sefer Torah Perek Yud writes that mitpachos hasfarim v'aron, even though the Sefer Torah is munach b'tik, is considered tashmish to kedusha. And the Kesef Mishnah understood in the Rambam that he was accepting Rava, that even though a Sefer Torah is munach betik, betoch tik, which would logically mean that the Aron is tashrish to tashrish, but nevertheless, since on some occasions you put the Sefer Torah in without a tik, therefore it has the status of tashmishei kedusha. Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I don't know, gentlemen, if you're going to be able to make it today, but I have something that I wanted to share with you today about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, and this I found quite interesting. So truth be told, if I had access to a photocopy, but in terms of my schedule, you know, once I leave the LC, I don't really have access to a photocopy machine.
It's okay. Well, I can take a picture.
So if you want, you can take a picture.
It's a thing. Well, the nice thing about a picture is I can blow it up.
Great. Okay, so you take the picture.
With what, this?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm hoping that we'll get until here.
Okay.
So you'll let me know. I don't know if you can take both pages together.
No, I can't do that. I mean, I could do it, but it won't come out.
Okay. Well.
This will help.
So if you can give me a minute just to read this Rambam and then...
Okay.
I'll turn the page in just a second. Yeah. Listen to what the Rambam says. Perek Yud Aleph Mehilchos Tefillah. You know, we've been speaking about selling a Beis Knesses and whether or not you could be moored one Beis Knesses to another, from a larger Beis Knesses to a smaller Beis Knesses, a larger city to a smaller city. So I was wondering, what is the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses? And there's going to be a Gemara later on in Megillah that says, Mechabdin Batei Knesios, that we have to really clean up the Beis Knesses. You know, we have to sweep and wash the floors. And then the Gemara is going to say, Einogim Bahem Kalus Rosh. They have to really act in a very serious way, a solemn way within a Beis Knesses. And the Gemara is going to establish that that applies not only to the Beis Knesses that's standing as a structure, but even after its destruction, even Bechurbanam, also you have to treat that place where the Beis Knesses was with certain sanctity. And the Gemara is going to say that after the Churban of a Beis Knesses, you're not allowed to do certain things like Ein Parshin L'Tocho Matsudos, Ein Shotchin Al Gag Peros, Ein Osimem Kampadria, all sorts of dinim which are derived from the Pasuk Vashemosi Es Mikdashechem, which means Kedushasam Af Kishem Shovimim. So the Rambam codifies this and he says Batei Knesios Batei Midrashos, which is also interesting because we had a whole issue about which Kedusha is greater.
Right.
But I guess the Rambam is assuming, like Rav Shuv ben Levi, that if you have dinim that are generated by the Kedusha's Beis Knesses with a Kol Shekein, how much more so they apply to a Beis HaMedrash, which has a greater Kedusha. So the Rambam is no agim ben kavod. So the Rav Soloveitchik is going to make a big deal about the word kavod. Umechabden osom arbitzen osom, so you have to keep it clean. And the Rambam writes that batim nesilos ubatim midrashos shecharvu b'kedushasen hein omdos shenemer v'hashimosi es mikdashechem afal pishem shomim b'kedushasen hein omdim. And keep in mind that we discussed the other day that the Rambam quotes that same pasuk in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, deriving that the Makom HaMikdash still remains sanctified even after the destruction of the Mikdash, which led to the conclusion that there's a certain similarity, a very striking similarity between Kedushas Mikdash and Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And with regard to Beis HaKnesses, the Rambam writes that Charvu, even after they were destroyed, B'kedushasam hein omdo, shenemar vashimosi es mikdashechem, afal b'shem shomimim, b'kedushasam hein omdim, ukshem shenogim behem kavod, b'yishuvan, kach nogim behem kavod b'churbanam. Chutz mi kibbutz, kibbutz v'ributz, She'ein mechavdin osan v'ein marbitzin osan. So we don't have to keep the place clean. You know,
we don't have to keep the churva clean.
The churva clean. You don't have to wash the floors. So listen to what Rav Soloveitchik wants to derive from the Rambam. He says the following: Yesh hashras hashchina bebate knesios ubate midrashos. The shchina is there. And that's what generates the kedusha. So now, when the shechina is there, I'm not sure. Does that mean that the shechina is there, waiting for us to come in and daven and learn there, or does it mean that when we daven there, when we learn there, then the shechina comes to join us? I don't know. But he says that the chiv kavod. That, remember, that was the word that the Rambam used. Nogim bem kavod that applies to Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, because. The makom is kadosh because it's a makom of hashras hashchina, and then he writes ukedushasim he may ein kedushas hamigdash. Now he used the word may ein, which means it's similar to, it resembles. I don't think it's exactly kedushas hamigdash, but it has certain qualities, certain elements of kedushas hamigdash. And the greatest proof for this is the fact that bechurbanam. There's still nishar b'kedushas, and the Rambam quotes the pasuk Hashimosias mikdash shechem, which the pasuk itself refers to the Beis HaMikdash. So apparently, the kedushas Beis HaKnesses is somewhat of a resemblance or
it's a
takeoff, a spinoff. It's
a mirror image.
Yeah, you could. I don't know what phrase to use here, you know, to translate the word me'ein. So he says the following, that this all comes from sugyas in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, in a number of places, is going to address the question how we treat a Beis HaKnesses. What are we allowed to do in a Beis HaKnesses? So, for example, the Mishnah says in Brachos, Nundalad lo yakel odom es rosho, no kalas rosh, kineged sharem ha-mizroch. Oh, no. So here... Here we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, and then we're going to get to the Gemara about Beis HaKnesses. So lo yakel adam es rosho keneged shar ha-mizrach shu mechuvan keneged Beis Kodesh Kodshei Kadoshim. So for this we need a little bit of a model of the Beis HaKnesses. They used to have a model of the Beis HaKnesses in one of those hotels. Do you remember that in Beit Vigan? What was the name of the hotel? They moved it.
They moved it to the
Hebrew University.
No, it's
Israel. The Holy Land Hotel.
Oh, right, and it moved to where?
It's now over here to the Israel Museum.
Okay. Okay, so we'd have to take a trip there or get a picture of the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. But he says that there's a certain shahr called the Shahr HaMizrach. And if you get to that shahr, you're already looking directly at the Kodesh Kadoshim. You have a beeline, so to speak, to the Kodesh Kadosh. And that's where you have to be very careful. Even the Harabayis itself, like for example, I would say that anything beyond the Kotel is certainly the Harabayis. And you're not allowed to go there b'makelo, b'minolo, b'fudoso, b'avak shal raglov. You have to really dress properly. V'lo yasenu kapandria. You can't walk there to get the shortcut to get to a certain place. Urikika, you're not allowed to spit there. And then there's another sugya in Brachos that's about six plot later and the eight plot later. It says Omar Bibi, and then no relationship, but Omar Bibi, Omar Yeshua ben Levi, kol arokek bahara bayis, bizman hazeh. Wow, then we don't even have the Beis HaMikdash. Ki'ilu rokeik bebas eno. Bas eno is an anachronism for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it's like really insulting. Shenemar v'hoya eni v'libi sham kol hayomim. And I think kol hayomim here means even after the Churban. Because the Rambam, because the Gemara says even bizman hazeh. Omar Rav, rekika bebeis ha'ah. Now we get to Beis HaKnesses, and the Gemara quotes Rava, but Rava Rekika beBeis HaKnesses Sharia. You're allowed to spit in the shul. Midi havia min al. So, gentlemen, you're not Lubavitchers, but if you were a Lubavitcher, this is a very important point that you're allowed to spit in the Beis HaKnesses.
Why did Lubavitcher spit?
when they get to Olenu, and it's and it says in Olenu in Al Kena Kav, it says Hemishtafim not now in the first part Hemishtafim Lahevel Verik. Rick means spit, and they spit.
And they spit.
Yeah, I saw the Rebbe do it. When the Rebbe spit, he did it really cool. It was like very very meduyak. But the first time I saw it, I was shocked.
I've never seen the Lubavitcher spit like that.
Yeah, every Lubavitcher spits in Eleni. You might not, if maybe you didn't notice it because you were busy saying Eleni yourself. Yeah, you were concentrating on your own Eleni.
What does Amanol mean?
Minal is a kind of a sandal that they used to wear. It was like an open sandal. It was not proper dress. But in the Beis Knesses, Rava says that just like you're allowed to wear your minalim, we're not going to ask you to change your shoes, so too in the Beis Knesses, you're allowed to spit. Ma minal b'harabais asur b'beis HaKnesses mutar afrikika b'harabais hudi asur b'beis HaKnesses. So now we have a real challenge. What's the difference between the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses? Until now, we've been operating with an equation, and therefore we'd have assumed that all the dinim that apply to a Beis to the Beis HaMikdash in terms of kavod should apply to a Beis HaKnesses as well. But here we see two differences. Rava says, number one, although you're not allowed to wear a minol on the Harabayis, nevertheless, you can wear it in the synagogue. And number two, you're not allowed to spit, and yet you're allowed to spit. So Ayin Shom de Gemara. So we're learning Gemara Brachos on Daf Samat Gimel, and the Gemara asks, why is it that certain Yisurim apply to a Beis HaKnesses, and yet Minol Verakika is Mutter to Beis HaKnesses? Now, one of the Yisurim that apply to a Beis HaKnesses is that you're not allowed to make it a compadrio, right? So let's say, for example, let's assume this was a Beis HaKnesses. I don't know if this is a Beis HaKnesses, but if I had to get from here to there, and instead of going around, I want to go, which is a long way, I would just want to cut through and shorten it, and go through the shul.
Right.
So I'm not allowed to do that.
Right.
So the Gemara quotes Rava, and Rava tries to answer this question. Omar Rava, ki beso, meaning when we call something a Beis HaKnesses, it means it's your Beis HaKnesses. Yours, you own it. We'll have to see who the you is and why and how do you own it. Ma beso akapandria kapit inish. In other words, if I have a house, I don't want you to tromps through my house and use it as a shortcut.
Yeah.
But arikiku minalo kapit inish. That's the way people live in their house. That's normal domicile. Right. That's how you live in a house.
They had dirt floors, so they didn't mind.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Or whatever.
I don't know if that's.
If you had 2 days of rain like that, it's all wet. You don't want people walking through your house.
Right.
You're hard enough, Rabbi, correct?
In Canada, you have to take off your shoes before you go.
You go in the house, yeah. It's not like in Boston. what do you call it? There's a gamach in Harnoff. Whose building lets you to walk through and who doesn't? Like as you go to, you want to go from high tide up to
something like that. It's very important.
Because you come in one, because it's all. There's a gamach of which building lets and which buildings don't let.
Oh, I see.
So, I call that a gamach.
Right, well, it's no, the idea
is.
Like a listing.
Why is it called a gamach? It's a chesed for. Right. It's not a, you know, there's no money, there's no, you don't get, the only benefit you get is, what does it mean? If you're trudging through, cutting through high tide to go up to Shalzen or something like that,
right.
So you're if it's on a rainy day, you're bringing in all the water. You know, people are paying for this.
Right.
But that's no gap.
Af Beis HaKnesses, so you treat a Beis HaKnesses like your own house. Kapandria also, that's not something that you want to tolerate, but Rikiku Minol, that was considered normal behavior pattern in your house.
If you can do it, if there's a mitzvah or a halacha to be done, do it. Right? Oh. You don't need, you have a son with a bris and during the before Lag Bomer, during the morning of for Rabbi Akiva, it says you can get a haircut. Right? Before Lag Bomer. Before Lag Bomer. Like if it's after Pesach, you make a bris. Okay, so you get a haircut. It says halakha, you get a haircut. Just go and do it because it says you can.
You can.
Right? So you can spit in shul? Just do it because it says you can.
Okay. I would wait till a little later, but okay, fine. I read the chaluk. Oh, so let's see how Rav Soloveitchik wants to interpret this. So again, just to summarize, in the paragraph here, Harei, and then also you want to take a picture of the next page, he says the following, that there's a fundamental difference between the kavod of a Beis HaMikdash and the kavod Beis HaKnesses. The kavod Beis HaKnesses is only like Beiso. I give you the kavod, I treat the Beis HaKnesses with the same kavod that I would treat my own house. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, there is a different chiyuv kavod, and it's more intense and more demanding than the chiyuv kavod in Beiso, the way you would treat your house, and therefore the way you have to treat the Beis HaKnesses. And then Afkavini is going to be Minol Urikika. So Minol Urikika is an isurim that generate a higher standard or higher demand of behavior of kavod with regard to the Beis HaMikdash than that of Beiso, of your own house, and of a Beis HaKnesses. But now we're ready for a revolution. This is the Rav's revolution. Asher nira levayr baza. Okay, that's a fancy language, but what he basically says is, it seems to me that what's the fundamental difference between a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash? Listen carefully. Beis HaKnesses, yesh rak chiv kavod. Ube Beis HaMikdash, yesh gam chiv yira. You know, for example, in terms of relationship between children and parents, we could talk about a chiv kibud, kabed es avich v'esimecha, and then we could add another mitzvah, which is called mora aviv, mora imo, ish imo v'aviv tiro. And they're two different mitzvahs. For example, in kavod it means I have to service my father. In yira it means I have to be afraid of my father, in the sense that I'm not allowed to do certain things. So yira is really like a losase. It's a, what you call an isra se. It's written in the form of an essay, but it's an isra. But kibud is purely a mitzvah se. It's a kiyum. You know, malbisho, machilo, motzio, machniso, machaseu, whatever it is. You know, you feed him, you warm him up, you cover him, and you bring him a glass of latte. You know, all that is a positive mitzvah of kibud. And therefore, in a Beis HaKnesses is a positive mitzvah of kibud. But he says that and that positive mitzvah of kibud is to be mechabit the Beis HaKnesses the way you would be mechabit your own house, and that's called beiso. But in the case of Beis HaMikdash, there's an additional chiv, and that's called mora, and that means there are isurim that are generated because of the mora, the mora, the fear and the trembling and the awe that I have to have for that place. And he says that's going to explain the difference here between Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash. That Beis HaMikdash has an additional chiyuv of what? Of yira. And he wants to medayik this from the Rambam. The Rambam, when he talks about Hilchus Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaMikdash, Perek Zayin, he says, Mitzvah say lira min HaMikdash, shenemar u'mikdashi tiro. And then the Rambam has a whole chiddush here, a very dramatic chiddush. Lo min hamikdash atayori ela b'mishet tzival yiraso. You have to understand why the Rambam felt compelled to add that line. Okay. But the fear that we have for the Beis HaMikdash is really the fear for the Shechina. The ezus of yiraso. Ah, now the Rambam defines what yir is. Lo yikones adam larabayis b'makelo b'min olo b'raglov o b'afundoso v'ein tzarech lo m'sha'asu l'aruk b'chol b'arabayis. So when the Rambam codifies the laws of minol and rikika, those isurim in Beis HaMikdash, he bases it on the pasuk es mikdashai tiro, and this is how the Rambam defines yira. In Beis HaKnesses, which we saw in Perek Aleph Milchas Tefillah, the Rambam makes absolutely no mention of Rikika and Minol, because the Gemara says in the name of Rav that Rikika Minol is Mutar, and the reason for that is that Rikika Minol comes on the Mora Migdash, and there's no mitzvah Mora Migdash with regard to the Beis HaKnesses. So remember I was asking before, how do you translate the word Me'ein? You know, Me'ein, you know, you say Shabbos is Me'ein Olamamu. You know, what does Me'ein here mean? That the Beis HaKnesses is Me'ein Beis HaMikdash. You know, it's very fuzzy. It's very ambiguous. You know, the Beis HaKnesses is me'en, so it's a mirror image, it's an extension, it's a spin-off, it's a reflection. What is it? And the Rav wants to suggest that it has one thing in common with the Beis HaMikdash, and that makes it a Beis HaMikdash, but it has one thing in which it's not similar to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we can't call it Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. We can only say it's me'en Beis HaMikdash, but at least we can define now what it means me'ein Beis HaMikdash. I mean, what does it have in common with Beis HaMikdash? So any dinim that are generated by the positive mitzvah of Kavod Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMikdash, excuse me, that's going to apply in Beis HaKnesses as well. But any dinim that are generated by Mora Beis HaMikdash, those apply only to Beis HaMikdash and not to Beis HaKnesses. At least, you don't understand what I'm excited about here. It's that, you know, that's what brisk is good about. You know, brisk at its best is that you take a knife and you cut it, you slice it, you know, you define it. Okay, it's me'ein Beis HaMikdash. You know, it's like a Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, well, you know, tell me what that means. And now we have an answer to that question. So, basically, now our job would be, if we were writing a Shulchan Aruch for Beis HaKnesses, we would go through all the laws of Beis HaMikdash, and we define them, and we would categorize them in two categories. There would be Kavod Beis HaMikdash, and there would be Mora Beis HaMikdash. And then we go back to Beis HaKnesses, and we would just simply graft, you know, you copy and paste all the laws of Kavod Beis HaMikdash, would apply that to the Beis HaKnesses, and we would omit all the laws that are generated by Mora Beis HaMikdash. In the footnote here, Rabbi Ganak says to take a look in the Sefer Yireyim. Now, the Sefer Yireyim is an Ashkenazi, and the Rambam is a Sephardi. And the Ashkenazim say, look at that Beis HaKnesses, Yeshbo Mitzvahs, Yira Midoraisa. Do you see the polar opposites over here? Meaning, according to the Sefer Yireyim, there's Mora Migdash and there's Mora Beis HaKnesses. So then you're going to have to come up with a new matir of Beis. You understand what I mean? That somehow, it's like, you know, they allow you to make a kiddush in a shul, right? You have to come up with a matir. Or we made a try, or we did that. So the matir here of Beis HaKnesses, of Mora Beis HaKnesses, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa according to Sefer Yireyim, is Beis. That we want you to feel comfortable in your house. V'nira levar od, he wants to go even a step further, and this is a very profound idea. Now, what we're about to do now is really what motivated me to share this with you, because I get very emotional about this. Mm-hmm. It borders on agadita, on philosophy. You know, Rav Soloveitchik in general was very sensitive to make the distinction between halach and philosophy. There was a young man in the Shia, I won't mention his name, I remember his name very well, and the Rav had him pegged as a philosopher. I don't know why. Nobody knows exactly why. And every time he would raise his hand to make a comment in Shia, the Rav would say, no philosophy. And then he would let him speak, you know, when he wanted to give that up. And this next piece, it's very interesting. I'm going to ask you if you could classify it. Is this halacha or is this philosophy? Will you be willing to sit on the jury for that?
No, I'll sit on the jury.
Okay, great.
I know what that means.
Yeah. So that's what I want you to judge. He says the following. That even a Beis HaMikdash is called Beiso. Oh. But not Beiso in our sense, but Beiso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes two psukim. There are probably many others. Ki beisi beis tefiloi karei l'kol amim. God calls the Mikdash beisi. That's a pasuk in Yeshaya. And David HaMelech famously, achash al t'meis Hashem avakish, shivti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. So it means beis Hashem. So God is calling it my house. Oh. He says the following. When we walk into the beis HaMikdash, we are guests in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's palace. This is his house. Is with a capital H. We're entering into the Beis Shel Melech. And that, he says, generates a Chiyuv Yira. But that doesn't have its parallel in the Beis HaKnesses. Why? Because we are the Beis HaKnesses. Wow. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a guest in our Beis HaKnesses. We are guests in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mikdash, it's his bias, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachul is guests in our house. And he says the following. He says that We pointed out before, based on the Rambam, that the Beis HaKnesses is a Mokum HaShuas HaShechina. Yeah, it's a Mokum HaShuas HaShechina. But is it a HaShuas HaShechina because he, with a capital H, is the host, or because he is the guest? And herein lies the difference between Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaKnesses. In Beis HaMikdash, he is the host, and we're entering into his territory. We are his guests. But in the Beis HaKnesses, we are the hosts, and he, Kaviyochol, is our guest. Mm-hmm. Isn't that pretty mind-boggling?
The Rav also took that a step further at one point, where it's where that's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Oh, so that's the next piece. Oh. You didn't take a picture of it yet.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay.
He says, so if you don't want, I'm going to turn the page. If you want to snap a photo.
Maybe that's where I got it from originally.
Right. Okay, excellent. Okay. And that's written up also in the Yartzeit Shirim. So he says the following. He says, in other words, the Beis HaKnesses belongs to the Kahal. And he says that that's what he derives from Rava. Okay? Then Rava says the following, Shebe Beis HaKnesses mechavdo kibbeiso. Then Rava says that the cover that you give to a Beis HaKnesses is beiso. And what does it mean, beiso? If he owns the Beis HaKnesses, I guess it's his bias, but if it's owned by the Tzibur, it's the Tzibur's bias. V'akodesh Baruch Hu kaviyochol ho'reach v'onamaz minimoto lebeitenu. Right? We're inviting the Shechina, come join us. V'kevon shehu bias shalonu, it's our bias. V'adei ein bo mitzvos yira. Right? You don't have a yira for your own house. You feel at home. It's your home. But sagi b'kovid, you know, you have a certain respect for your house. You want to keep it clean, and you want to behave certainly with a certain minimum demands. V'yesh l'chiyach yisod zem yiloshen ha-gemara. Again, I was under the impression that this gemara is not a raya for Rav Soloveitchik, but he's very madaik in the language of the gemara. What happens if there's no minyan? So the gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ba'al beis HaKnesses and lo matzavo asara is miyadu koes. So God Kaviyochol gets angry because there's not a minyan here. Like, why am I here before the minyan is there? Right? It's like the Rebbe comes before the Talmid. The Talmid should be there before the Rebbe. So we used to have a whole system. You know, the Rav came from the morgue. It's one building, and he crossed the street to get to First Hall, the white building. So we used to put a shomrim, how do you call it in English?
Spotters.
You know, like Harat Sofim, you know, Sofim. Yeah. We used to put people in certain positions because we never knew when the Rav was going to decide to come to Shia. And as soon as the word got out, it was like Masiyah Masos, you know, the word spread and everybody ran into the classroom before Rav Soloveitchik came. So he says the following.
That's okay.
Yeah, because we got there first. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, and guess what? There's no minyan. Again, if God gets there too early, okay, that's your fault. That's not my fault. Yeah. But if it's the minyan is called for 7 o'clock.
Change the clocks.
By the way, in Europe, they didn't change the clocks. Apparently in Europe, my wife tells me that they didn't change the clocks.
They're trying not to change in the States also.
He says, B'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo matzah is koez. He says, "V'halik harik shakodesh baruch hu bala beis haknesses." That's the language of the Gemara. It means he visits the beis haknesses. He's the guest of the beis haknesses. I'm the beis hamigdash hu ma'ono shalakodesh baruch hu. That's his house. That's his abode. The anuboyim and we're coming. Liros is pnei adon Hashem ulisareach etzlo. Ukein zeh matzina. This is what Asher was saying before. Ha'hev to min Shabbos liyontiv. The afsha b'shneiam yitz mitzvahs kibud v'oneg. Okay, we talk about kibud v'oneg, but you don't have kabbalah Shabbos. I mean, you don't have kabbalah yontif. Al mitzvah simcha noeges b'yontif lo b'shabbos. So let me just point out to you that there's a footnote here, number 144, and he says the following. L'kach afsha matzim she'efshal limkar beis haknesses al yidei shiva tuvei b'mayim mitzvah. So that this whole sugi about selling a Beis HaKnesses, we don't find a parallel sugi about selling a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the rights to sell God's house. It's His house. I can't sell your house. Mm-hmm. I could maybe entice you to sell your house. You know, if I give you an offer, you can't refuse. And he says the following. He says, "V'nira d'cholak Shabbos miyontif, to be yontif, ha'adam omed lifnei Hashem." It means that yontif is the day in which we enter into the Beis Hamikdash. And why is that so? Because of Aliyah L'Regel, right? The essence of Yontif back in the day was to come into the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where we experienced the Simcha of Yontif. Shabbos, on the other hand, we don't enter into the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore there's no Simcha on Shabbos. Simcha always means when we get to Lifnei Hashem, we're in the presence of God. And on Yontif, there's a very unique dimension that doesn't have its parallel to Shabbos. And that is that Yontif is Simcha. Why is Yontif Simcha? Because we're entering into the Beis HaMikdash. And that has to do also with the fact that there's no Avelus on Yontif. Yontif is Mevatel Avelus. Shabbos is not Mevatel Avelus. Shabbos has no mitzvah of Simcha. Shabbos has no mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. On Shabbos, we're not standing in front of Hashem in His Mikdash. But here, on Yontif, we are entering into His Beis HaMikdash. Kol Makom, the Rav says, if you're following me, Osher, it's a paragraph that starts with Nira. Kol Makom Shehasimcha Muzkeres BaTorah. He says, I challenge you to do a word search. Plug in the word Simcha, or any conjugation of Simcha. And you know where it'll show up? It'll always show up with the words Lifnei Hashem. For example, in Parshas Emor, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Or in Parshas Re'eh it says, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah says, V'achaltem shom lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, Usmachtem b'kol mishlach yedchem. V'zavachto shlomim, V'achalto shom, V'samachto lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. He quotes here about 8 psukim, I don't know how many, but over and over again, the word simcha, you have a prefix and a suffix. You have v'samachto, or v'samachtem, and then you have lifnei Hashem. Yontif is simcha. Why? Because of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Chayav Adam lahofia lifnei Hashem v'beiso. We are guests. Now, if you get an invitation from Hashem to show up at his house as a guest, you take him up on the invitation. You know, today, I don't know about you, but I don't want to project my faults on you, but half, if not 90% of the invitations I get, sometimes you're on a list, you get an invitation. Hashem sends you an invitation, you don't refuse. Why? Because on Yontif, there's a mitzvah to respond to God's invitation to come into his house, and that's called Aliyah L'Regel. On Shabbos, on the other hand, a person is not invited to come into the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, it's not Lifnei Hashem. A person is not standing Lifnei Hashem. If he's not standing Lifnei Hashem, then there's no mitzvah of Simcha. But what does Shabbos have that's very unique? This is so beautiful. So that's what I want you to judge. Is this halacha or is this philosophy? It's really that thin borderline, that threshold. It's both. I think it's both halacha and hashkafa, but you'll judge it. He says on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba l'krasenu. He's going to prove to you from the Gemara on Shabbos and the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed that God is our guest on Shabbos. That's mind-boggling. Not like on Yontif where we go lifting Hashem, but here we invite Hashem into our homes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shruya bibatenu. And I'm reminded of Shalom Aleichem, right? And now you have the question, which he's going to cover on the next page. What happens if it's both Shabbos and Yontif, like this year? Different minhagim, whether you do say Shalom Aleichem, you don't say Shalom Aleichem. Are we guests in his house, or is he a guest in our house? It's really an overlap. He says the following. Why is it that on Shabbos we have a mitzvah called Kabbalas HaShabbos? We don't have a din of Kabbalas Yontif. Yotzim v'Shabbos l'kras ha-melech. You know, I'm feeling like the Arizal in Tzfat 5 centuries ago. The Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina Misatev, he used to wrap himself up in a talus. And I don't know if he was a Bretzlava, but this is Rabbi Chanina. And Koya Panya Demali Shavsa, He stood at the door on Erev Shabbos. V'yomar bo v'netzei. He turned to his family. Let's go out. Out into the fields. V'netzei l'krat Shabbos Malka. And Rabbi Yanai Lovishmani got dressed in his finest clothing on Erev Shabbos. V'yomar bo ichala, bo ichala. And he invited the kala. It's interesting that the Gemara calls it a kala. And we call it in L'chadodi, right? The Rambam calls it a melech. Very strange. This has to do with Kabbalistic ideas about whether Shabbos is Bechinas Zohar or Bechinas Nekeva.
It's both. I think again you could do that. That could be your philosophical and halachic. It's both.
Well, I don't know if the Rambam ever calls Shabbos a malka. I don't know. In any event, the Rambam says Ezu covered. Zeh shavu chacham shemitzvah al adam lorutz panav lirchotz panav yodav aragel bechamin be'er Shabbos mekvod haShabbos misatei petzitzis v'yoshev bekoved rosh u'miyachel hakbolas pnei haShabbos. Now, Rabbosai, could I reveal a secret to you, and maybe you'll give me some guidance, because I'm suffering from this every Friday night, and I don't know how to deal with it, and I'm asking for your help. In our shul on Friday night, they do a lot of wild things. And they jump around, and they dance, and they sing, and this and that. And it's beautiful. And this is what I think our dar needs. But I have the words of the Rambam ringing in my ears, and I don't know how to free myself from the Rambam. And the Rambam says that Kabbalah Shabbos is Miyachel Yoshev B'Kovid Rosh. And he says that the Shabbos is a melech, and we are now receiving the melech. Imagine the king is coming into your house, and the Rambam says, "Bekoven." You know, the opposite of this, it would be kalus rosh, to start banging on the tables and dancing and singing. I don't know. I can't reconcile that attitude with the atmosphere that the Rambam is describing of Kovid Rosh. Kovid Rosh, the Rambam, and Rav Salvechik in another shiur, not here, he's going to compare it to Yom HaKippurim, where we speak about Kovid Rosh. Yom HaKippurim is a very solemn day. So imagine, you know, on a solemn moment when the Melech is coming in, you know, you start dancing and singing.
Yeah.
You know, today I was driving here, and there was an entourage. I don't know if it was the Rosh Memshalah. I don't know who was here, or maybe it was a visitor from one of the countries.
Yeah.
You know, they have this whole what's it called? An arcade? What's the word I'm looking for?
Motorcade.
A whole motorcade. Yeah. And you know, you get into a state of pachad, because you know it's pitch black. It was like 5 a.m.
Yeah, the police.
And then they have these black fancy cars, and they're, but it's like scary.
Sirens.
So imagine,
yeah,
I'm going to go out there and start dancing and jumping from the thing and banging on the table.
Right.
By the way, I don't even know if you're allowed to bang on the tables, because I think it has Kedusha Space HaKnesset. That's another issue. But I don't know. If gentlemen, you have any insight, I don't know how
Only thing I can say is that the singing is fine, right? Okay, and you know, and like the rabbi said, it's the door needs it, the singing leads to dancing, the dancing leads to jumping up and down. Okay, but the singing, you can have singing and still the kavod rosh. You can still have the
somehow
singing.
To reconcile the two.
To like reconcile somehow. The two. In other words, Shabbos is coming in, you have the fear of Shabbat, you know, all the halakhas come down on you, and not to do this, not to do that, not to worry, but you know, all the halakhas take in place. So that's the fear, right? I'm not going to dare lean against the wall, I might turn on the light, you know, like all those fear things that we put in our heads, and you know, that they come in. But the singing, you know, doesn't take away from
The Rambam speaks about slichos, and he says misatei petalos. And Rav Salvechik used to always point out that the same language there appears here in Shabbos, when you makabel pnei hamelech for Shabbos. Misatei petalos. Misatei means that you cover your head. Why do you cover your head? Because you're afraid of the shechina. You see what I mean? It's like the kohen. You know, if the shechina is coming down, so you cover yourself. You know, You don't look into the face of the Shechina.
You know,
and so the dancing and singing is very appropriate, I think, for a Yontif, let's say. You know what I mean? Well, Latva Omer. Yeah. You want to go out there and Hiluli Terev Shiva Yochai. I couldn't care less if you flew down from the ceiling. But Shabbos, I mean, Kabbalah Shabbos is that God is coming into your, he's visiting you, the Melech Malchei Melechim is coming. The Rambam calls it COVID Rosh. The Rambam says Misati Vitalis. So, but you're right, I have to somehow, I don't know, it's an emotional problem that I have. You know, it's one of my...
In Hebron, they have a minhag to, you see a lot of guys who wear talis on Friday night.
Yeah, the Yemenites also. Yeah. I live next door to a Yemenite shul. The Chachom Rishonim Yekablim Makabzim Talmideihem B'Erev Shabbos U'Misatvim V'Omrim Bo V'Neitzi L'Kras Shabbos HaMelech. Interesting. Shabbos HaMelech. Our Gemara says Shabbos HaMalka. Do you see that? Okay, so that's already that's more Kabbalistic. But
the last page.
Yeah. He says Avol B'Yontiv Lo Matzinu Dover Zeh. We don't find on Yontiv that we go out to greet the king. Why? Because we don't greet the king. We enter as the guests of the king. We are a bechina of archim, of guests who are going into Hashem's abode. But therefore, on Yontif, we don't find bo v'nesei l'kras ha-melech. And at some point, which I can't find this second, on the bottom here, he compares it to Yom Kippur. But at some point, the Rav speaks about the din of Kohen Gadol. Did I skip that? Because the Gemara says that Kohen Gadol doesn't have avelus because he's always in a state of simcha. He's always omen lifnei Hashem.
Early in the footnote, he talked about.
Oh, which footnote is it? I'm sure it's here somewhere.
He talked about the difference between yontif that is avelus, that avelus doesn't.
Does he mention Kohen Gadol here?
When he's talking about Avelis and Shabbos, I don't know if he mentioned
this that. Is the paragraph here, but maybe in one of the footnotes. Anyway, I'm sure the Rav spoke about Kohen Gadol. I don't find it right this second. That Kohen Gadol has a din of Moed. I think the Rambam says he's always like a Moed by him, so he's Besimcha, therefore there's no Avelis for a Kohen Gadol. So the Rav says again, the Kohen Gadol is always considered Omed Lifnei Hashem. He's in a state of Simcha. He's in a state of Yontif.
Yontif, that's it.
Oh, here it is.
That's it.
Well, you found
page,
it?
The last page you were just on Shin Yud Beis, in the middle paragraph.
Okay. Vihine Yesh Lahovim, that paragraph?
Yeah. Like from 6 black lines from the bottom of the paragraph.
He speaks about Avelus here. I remember the Rav spoke about Avelus. Kohen Gadol has no Avelus. Okay. Alright, so I see it's late, so I hope you enjoyed this. Again, it's a little bit, you know, some of the Chevra couldn't be here. Eric's not here, and John is not here, and Jerry is not here. So,
which Jerry? Remember,
he's on a teal with Matan. I don't know exactly where they went.
Okay.
He said he'll be back for voting day, but he doesn't know who to vote for.
I'll tell.
So I gave him a shtuch of my own. But in any event, so I figured if it's just us, you know, you wouldn't mind. I mean, it's such a beautiful piece.
Yeah, and it's,
you know, if we're learning about Kedushas based on Knesses, how can we
go to shul every day? We don't think about it.
So I wish everybody a great Shabbos.